I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, he was raised in the Midwest and grew up listening to Led Zeppelin. She was born in Ghana and grew up singing gospel. So how did Sam and Ruby become one of the most exciting new acoustical acts on the musical scene? We'll find out and hear songs from their debut album, The Here and the Now. That's a little later in the program. But first, we're going to continue our conversation about Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's visit to Africa. She's currently in Liberia. She has one last stop to make in Cape Verde before returning to the U.S. And we're getting reactions from African journalists covering the trip across Africa. Our guests are Prince Collins, a freelance journalist in Monrovia, Liberia, Feriel Hafaji, editor-in-chief of South Africa City Press. She joins us from Johannesburg, and Constance Ikoku, deputy editor of Nigeria's This Day newspaper. She joins us from Lagos. Feriel, overall, assessing Secretary of State Clinton's visit throughout the continent so far, it's been a long trip. She's made headlines back here for some things that have not been so flattering, for example, a rather testy exchange with a student.
Yes.
But I wanted to ask you, just assessing the totality of the trip so far, what's made the biggest impression on you?
I like the humility of some of her interactions in South Africa, where she told a group of business people that, in fact, the U.S. had a lot to learn from the way South Africa and a couple of the bigger economies in Africa had insulated ourselves from the global recession and also had much better credit vetting checks in place. I thought that on Zimbabwe she pushed as hard as she needed to, but I also enjoyed that she gave kudos where they were due and didn't really come across like a school mom, which is what we've come to expect of U.S. foreign policy on our continent.
Constance, what about you? Just assessing the whole trip, what has struck you?
I think that the trip is okay. There wasn't a huge excitement over here concerning visiting Nigeria, but I think that the civil society groups who had an opportunity to meet with her were quite satisfied that they were able to do that. I think that from now onwards, the ball is in the court of the Nigerian government to begin to improve the economy and the political system for the benefit of Nigerians. Because honestly, we have huge issues in this country that we are dealing with right now. I think that we are at the crossroad. And between now and next year, the government really has to work hard towards improving the country for the benefit of the people. If not, I don't know what is going to happen in this country.
So elections are next year?
Well, the elections are in 2011. But right now, there's so much poverty in the country. Things are really difficult. So I think that in the next 1 year, there has to be something. There has to be concrete steps taken to improve the livelihood of people. And I think that when you push people to the war, it gets to a stage they begin to react. Some of the religious conflict that we've seen in recent days is a mixture of ignorance and poverty and unemployment, So that is why I'm saying that in the next 1 year, the government has to show us that they have what it takes, that they have the political will to move from point A to point B in order to improve the lives of people.
So what I hear you saying is that really the major challenges for these countries have to be led internally, that the U.S. may play a role but is not the major player in addressing the concerns that are most pressing to the people of your countries. Having said that, Constance, I'm going to ask you, and then Feriel, I'm going to give you the final word. Are there steps, though, that Nigerians would like to see the U.S. take in the furtherance of the issues that are most pressing to the Nigerian people?
When it comes to the civil society bills, I think that they want to see the U.S. to continue to apply gentle pressure on the government and continue to make comments when issues that affect them comes up. For instance, the issues of corruption, these issues of electoral reform. That does not mean the way and manner through which the U.S. make their opinion known is important. At the same time, the ball is in the court of the Nigerian government. This is a sovereign country. We have a government, and the government has to act.
Feriel, can I have a final thought from you? Are there other steps, though, that you would like to see the U.S. take in the coming months and years to build on the relationship that has been established with this visit?
Well, I think that the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, it can be expanded a lot more. I think we can see many benefits coming out of the growing trade between our continent and the United States. Also, I do think that the U.S. bringing up the issues of good governance is very, very important in an era where the other superpower that's really making its mark in Africa is China, and it really puts good governance issues right on the back burner in its dealings with us.
Fair El-Hafaji is the editor-in-chief of City Press. She joined us from Johannesburg, South Africa. We were also joined by Constance Ikoku. She's the deputy editor for This Day newspaper, and she joined us from Lagos, Nigeria. We were also joined earlier by Prince Collins. He's a freelance journalist who joined us from Monrovia, Liberia. I thank you all so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
Secretary of State Clinton also visited the Democratic Republic of Congo earlier this week. She was the highest-ranking U.S. official ever to visit Goma. She traveled there to bring particular attention to the rape epidemic that has become a part of the civil conflict over the past 9 years, since Rwandan and Ugandan rebels fled to the Congo after the 1994 Rwandan genocide. Since January alone, 600 civilian deaths have been reported, 800,000 people have fled from their homes, and thousands of girls and women have been reported to have been raped. Just about every party to the conflict has been implicated in these attacks, including Congolese soldiers who were deployed in the eastern part of the country to stop rebel attacks on civilians. Secretary Clinton raised the issue with President Joseph Kabila, stressing that members of the army must be held accountable for their conduct. She also held an emotional meeting with survivors of rape and urged university students in the Congolese capital of Kinshasa to become part of a campaign against such abuses.
I hope that here in the DRC, there will be a concerted effort to demand justice for women who are violently attacked and to make sure that their attackers are punished. And I hope that students will take the lead in this to speak out, because these are fundamental human rights.
Secretary Clinton announced that the U.S. will play an active role in fighting Congo's rape crisis with $17 million in new funding for medical care, counseling, and economic assistance for victims.